and ask that you turn with me today to the book of Philippians. As I mentioned last week, we're going to be taking a break from the book of Acts as we now come into the Thanksgiving and Advent season. This morning we'll be focusing in on Thanksgiving. Next week we're going to be beginning our Advent series, our Advent theme, which this year I've chosen, the Lord gave to me. Our Advent theme this year is going to be classic Christmas classics. We'll be focusing in on Christmas classics. We'll find out what that's about as we unpack that in the upcoming weeks. But this morning, let's go to Philippians chapter 4, beginning to read in verse 4. Paul writing to the church at Philippi, these words, where he says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Here in the reading of God's word, his blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your word that brings comfort to us, but also peace to our heart and to our mind. That your word, which stands guard through your peace that you provide for us, helps us, Lord, in times of all things to learn how to rejoice in you. Not to be brought down by care and anxiety and worry, but instead to have that thanksgiving, Lord, well up in us. And we thank you that your word shows us the way, that your word is that guiding force and that roadmap for our life. So Lord, open your word to us this morning as we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanksgiving Day is soon here. And in a few days, we'll be gathering around the table with our loved ones and family, enjoying a wonderful meal of course, turkey and mashed potatoes and filling. And we're going to be having turkey and mashed potatoes, Arlene, and lima beans and corn and pumpkin pie and all that good stuff. You getting hungry yet? And getting sitting down to have a meal, you're going to have like that good recipe for develop your meal, and maybe you have a special recipe that's passed down through the family. Sandy's shaking her head, yes. Of a recipe that's been passed down to the family, a certain way you make a certain ingredient that you enjoy. And Kim and I like to go to Diener's Restaurant, and if you ever been to Diener's is a good place to get traditional Pennsylvania Dutch food over there. And if you've ever been to Diener's, one of my favorite things, besides the butter noodles, Arlene, which are just swimming in the brown butter, is their filling. And if you ever had Diener's filling, it is really good. It just tastes like what you get at home at Thanksgiving. Some of you had, you're shaking your head. Yes, so we were there one time having it, and Mrs. Diener came by, and we were talking to her, and we asked her about it. She said, "Well, I'll give you the recipe." And we told her how good it was, and so she said, "I'll give you the recipe." So Mrs. Diener gave us the recipe, how to make it, and
she didn't write it down.
She told us. She said, "This is what you do, and this is what you need." So she told us the recipe. So we got the ingredients that Mrs. Diener said. We come home, and we tried to make it, and it didn't work. And it didn't taste like Mrs. Diener's at all. In fact, it came out very liquidly, and it didn't come out right. So just this week, we were down at Diener's again. And we saw Mrs. Diener. We said, "Mrs. Diener, you gave us your recipe for your filling, and we tried it, and it didn't come out the same as yours." She said, "Well, did you use this?" And we said, "Yeah." She said, "Did you use it?" We said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, did you do it this way?" And we didn't do it the right, proper way. So if you don't follow the recipe, things don't always turn out the way they should. In the scripture this morning, in chapter 4 of the book of Philippians, Paul gives us the recipe for thanksgiving. Now remember how this, he's writing to the book of Philippi, the church of Philippi, a church that he established. Remember on our journey through Acts, we had seen that Philippi was established by Paul on his second missionary journey after he had come, when he had seen the vision of the man in Macedonia say, come over and help us. So he arrived in Philippi, met Lydia. Remember, the church was established. He was arrested, put in prison. He met the Philippian jailer. The church in Philippi was established, and Paul was praising God there. But the church at Philippi became one of Paul's main supporting churches. We had seen through the book of Acts that they had stood strong with him. They had prayed for him. They had sent him gifts. They had sent him love offerings to support him in his ministry as he continued the mission around the preaching the gospel. And now he's in Rome, in prison for the gospel, facing execution. And the church at Philippi had sent him another gift of love support for him. And Paul's writing back to them from prison, writing back to thank them. Thanksgiving is the theme. Thanksgiving and joy is the theme of the book of Philippians. And if you'd read this book, you'd find it's all about thanksgiving and about joy and thankfulness. Paul thanking them for who they were, thanking them for their support. And in the verses before us, Paul shares with us a recipe for how to have thanksgiving. Because the scripture says, as he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And he wrote to the Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And sometimes we wonder, what is God's will? Well, there he made it very clear for us that we're to give thanks in all circumstances. And you say, but Dan, I can easily give thanks for when things are going well. I can easily give thanks for the pleasant things in life. But what about the hard things in life? I don't feel very thankful then. When Paul is in prison, but yet he said, give thanks in everything. How do we have a recipe of thanksgiving that in those times when we don't feel very thankful, when it's hard to make the ends meet, when we have that unexpected illness, or we had an unexpected death this year that we didn't know we were have to deal with, and we're coming through the holiday season without that person being with us? And how do we give thanks in times like that? Well, let's follow the recipe of thanksgiving. And if we follow the recipe and each one of these ingredients are in place, thanksgiving will well up in us. If we don't have a thankful heart, it might be because we haven't followed the recipe or one of the ingredients is missing. So let's look together briefly at this recipe that we need to follow in order to give thanks this morning. First, Paul begins by saying, first sprinkle with praise. The first thing we need to put into our life is that attitude of praise. He says, rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, just in case you didn't get it the first time, rejoice or praise. That doesn't mean when he says rejoice in the Lord and give thanks in every circumstance, it doesn't mean we're happy in it, but we can rejoice in it and praise God in the midst of it because God is good, right? And he is working everything out for our good. So rejoicing in the Lord because he is the object of our joy. He is good. His mercy endures forever, as the psalm says, we just read earlier. He is the source of our joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And Paul was full of joy because he knew the Lord. And when we know the Lord, he is the source of that joy in our life that he enables us to rejoice. So the first thing is sprinkle that praise in your life. And whenever you're having a bad day, whenever things seem to be falling apart, begin by saying, Lord, I thank you in the midst of this. You are good. I don't understand it, but I'm going to praise you. Because you are good. And you sprinkle that praise into your life every day by having some praise sprinkled in there. That's going to begin to generate a thankful heart in you as we do that before the Lord. Rejoicing in all things. Remembering, Paul was writing this from prison. I like the Snoopy cartoons, and I like Snoopy and Peanuts and Charlie Brown, and they're some of my favorites. And there was this Charlie Brown Snoopy cartoon. It said it was Thanksgiving time, and it said it was Thanksgiving Day, and the aroma of roast turkey was filling Charlie Brown's house. Snoopy was outside laying on top of the doghouse, and he smells the aroma, and he's thinking, it's Thanksgiving Day. Everybody eats turkey on Thanksgiving Day. So as he lies there watching the back door, he is eagerly waiting for his Thanksgiving feast to come to Charlie Brown to bring him out some turkey. Finally, the door opens, and here comes Charlie Brown with a bowl of dog food. And he puts it on the ground in front of Snoopy. Snoopy gets off his house, and he stares at the dog food with a forlorn look on his face. And he thinks, just because I'm a dog, I have to eat dog food on Thanksgiving. Well, then the next square shows him looking at the dog food more intently, and he's thinking, well, it could be worse. I could be the turkey. Now, to give thanks in all things. People who are truly thankful don't complain. They find a reason to be grateful. Matthew Henry, who was a great commentator of the scripture, he wrote a commentary on every single book of the Bible. And once he was robbed. The thieves took everything of value that he had. Later that evening, he wrote in his diary these words, I'm quoting him, I am thankful that during these years I have never been robbed before. And even though they took my money, they didn't take my life. And although they took all I had, it was not very much. So finally, I am grateful that I was the one who was robbed, not I was the one who was robbing. So give thanks in every situation. And we can sprinkle praise no matter what we're going through, because God is good. That's the first ingredient that we need to follow in our recipe of thanksgiving. Second, we need to season that with gentleness. Season our life with gentleness. He goes on to say in verse 5, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. But then let your gentleness be evident to all, for the Lord is near. That gentleness and being gentle with others and how we treat them. It's how we treat others and what we're to be known for. He said, let your gentleness be evident, meaning that's what you should be known for. When people see your life, when they see you, Nick, they said, see, there's a gentle man. When they see you, Ray, they said, there's a gentle man. Or Autumn, there's a gentle woman. That your gentleness becomes evident in how you live your life and treating others with that gentle love of Christ. How you want to be treated and how we treat others. Season that gentleness into our life. When those people that frustrate you and those people that are that burr in your saddle on your side, and we all have those people because God brings them into our life to help mold us. And when those people come into your life, learn to treat them with gentleness and respond with gentleness. And that's the way we begin to build that thanksgiving, thankfulness into our life. That's one of the ingredients of a thankful heart, of a recipe for thanksgiving. Third ingredient is we need to sift out worry. And here's a big one. We could probably spend all day right here. But he says, do not be anxious about what? Anything. Boy, Paul, what do you mean don't be anxious about anything? Is there anybody here that does not get anxious at times in our life? We all deal with worry and anxiety, don't we? If we're human. And he says, we need to scoop that out. We need to sift out the worry out of our life. Because Jesus said we can blot out what we worry about in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 34. He said, look at the birds of the air. They don't worry about anything, but yet God cares for them. And he said, you're more valuable to me than they. And he said, don't worry about tomorrow, because every day has enough problem of its own. And often a lot of the things we worry about don't happen anyway. And when we're worrying, we're not trusting. So we need, and when we're worrying, we're not thankful. We're not rejoicing in God's goodness. So sifting out worry out of our life, boy, that's one we struggle with a lot. And that can keep us from having thanksgiving, a heart of thanksgiving in our life. Because when we are worrying, we're not trusting. And when we are worrying, we're not praising. And when we're worrying, we're not trusting in the God's goodness and God's going to work out for us. So we need to sift out worry. The fourth ingredient in our life is we need to stir in prayer. He goes on then and says, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So if you want to worry less, one of the ways we can worry less is to pray more. And we need to turn those worries and anxieties into prayer and stir in that prayer in our life. And when next time you're worried or there's a concern or anxiety on your heart, say, Lord, I'm really anxious about this. I'm really concerned about this. I'm really concerned here. Help me to bring this to you and turn that worry into a prayer and ask, Lord, help me through this. I'm really struggling with this. I'm anxious about this. And take it to the Father and take those worries in the Lord in prayer. And that's one of the ways that thanksgiving will well up into us. And he said, as we do that, present it to the Lord with thanksgiving, knowing that God loves you, God is good, and God is on your side, God is in your corner, and he's going to take care of it for you. He's going to work it out according to his best will. We've heard testimonies this morning of how God has been good in answering prayers in ways that we cannot even understand if it wouldn't have been for him. And so we can thank him for that and stir that prayer in and turn those worries into prayer. Fifth ingredient in this recipe of thanksgiving is to simmer in peace. Simmer in peace. Notice what he says, verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, which goes far beyond what we in humans can understand. We can't understand or explain this peace that sustains us, but it's there. He said, it will guard or stand guard your hearts and your minds. And where does worry and anxiety live? Worry and anxiety lives in our hearts and our minds, don't it? And if peace stands guard over our mind and our heart, that worry and that anxiety will go, and God's peace will come in its place. That peace that the world does not understand, because the world can't understand how we can have peace in the midst of a storm raging around us, and we can have inner peace and calm assurance, knowing that God is with us in it, and we can, no matter what, we can go through and endure it. That's the peace of God that the world doesn't understand because they don't know him. But it stands guard, and that word guard is a military term used to describe a sentinel or a guard who was used to be posted at a watch or stationed. Those of you that are in the military would understand that a sentinel or a guard who was posted at a place to stand guard and watch, and that's what that word guard means. God's peace stands guard over our heart and over our mind, and it keeps us safe. And we can have confidence that no matter what you face, he is with us and his peace is standing guard over us. And when we have his peace, we can be thankful and we can rejoice in all situations and all circumstances we're in. That thanksgiving will well up in us, and it's something that we can focus and we can have. So simmer in peace. The sixth ingredient that we need for a happy Thanksgiving is we got to scoop out improper thoughts. Notice what he says in verse 8. Finally, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about things, these things. And if we want to eliminate worry, one of the ways we got to do it is by those thoughts of worry to eliminate them from our mind. Paul says, whatever we think about is where our heart's going to be. And so he said, think about things that are pure and true and lovely. Don't think about, let the worries consume us. Don't let our heart and those concerns consume our thoughts. But instead, put our thoughts on Christ and on his goodness and on his presence and on his faithfulness and on the promises that he's given us, that he will care for us, he will provide for us, he will never forsake us. And let those things be in our thoughts. And that will generate an attitude of thanksgiving in us. Scooping out those thoughts of inadequacy. Because many times Satan likes to throw those thoughts of inadequacy at us. When we failed the Lord and when we've fallen into sin, and Satan comes and says, yeah, you say you love God, but look what you did again. You've messed up again. And you say you love God, and there you failed him again. You ever have those thoughts of anxiety, those thoughts of inadequacy? And Satan does that all the time. And we need to scoop those out and realize that we are forgiven in Christ. That when we confess our sins, he has forgiven us and taken those away as far as the east is from the west, and they are canceled and they are gone for good. And don't let those thoughts of inadequacy cloud your mind. Remember who you are in Jesus. You are a cherished son. You are a cherished daughter of the Father. And you are loved dearly by him. And let those thoughts fill our mind. And that adds an attitude of thanksgiving. That you are loved in him. The thoughts of ingratitude. And when we get so much focused in our worries or our problems or anxiety, we fail to be thankful at what God has done. And we fail to realize all the goodness that God has given us, how he has indeed blessed us. That happened to Israel. As Israel was wandering through the wilderness, those 40 years, God had redeemed them out of slavery. He brought them through the Red Sea. He was providing them manna every single day. He was providing them food, the manna. He was providing his presence with them through the fire and the cloud. And he was their clothes, it says their clothes never wore out. Their shoes never wore out those entire 40 years. And what did they do for 40 years in the wilderness? Complained and were ungrateful. And had an attitude of ingratitude for what God had done in his presence with them. And we need to get those thoughts out of our mind and scoop out those improper thoughts and replace them with those thoughts of thankfulness and gratitude for the goodness of who our God is. There was a lady who was known as an incurable grumbler. She constantly complained about everything. And at last her preacher thought he had found something in which she could be happy for. For her farm crop was the finest it had been for miles around. It was a very good year for her harvest. And when he met her, he said to her with a beaming smile, he said, "You must be very happy, Mary. Everyone is saying how healthy your potatoes look this year." She said, "Yeah, they're pretty good. But what am I going to do when I need a bad one to feed the pigs?" You know, having that attitude of ingratitude, I mean, God's goodness and blessing to us, we need to scoop that attitude out. And last is to shake in obedience. I notice what he says in verse 9. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me, and where did Paul receive it from? Paul's writing to the Philippians. He said, whatever you've heard from me or seen in me or received from me. And who did Paul receive it from? The Lord. So he said, what you've heard or received or seen from me, seriously from the Lord, put it into practice and the God of peace will be with you. Because it's not enough just to hear the word of God. It's not enough to know that Paul says we need to rejoice in all things. But we need to put it into practice and do it as well. And we need to live that out. James said, faith without works is meaningless, or it's dead, it's useless. It doesn't mean anything. So one morning, A family was sitting around the breakfast table one morning, and as was the custom, the father returned thanks before their meal, blessing God and thanking God for the food. Immediately after, however, as was his bad habit, he began to grumble about the hard times, the poor quality of the food that he was forced to eat, the way it was cooked, and much more. So his little daughter interrupted him and said, "Dad, do you suppose God heard what you said a little while ago when you were giving thanks for the food?" He said, "Certainly," the father said, replying with a confident air, "certainly he did." And then she said, "Dad, do you think, did he hear what you said about the bacon and the coffee?" He said, "Of course," the father said with a note of caution in his voice. Then his daughter said, "Dad, which one did God believe?" See, we can say, "Lord, I'm thankful and I'm grateful." But if we don't have obedience, we don't carry it out and don't apply it, does God really believe that? Our actions validate our faith and how we live that out. And so if we are truly grateful, we will take his word and apply it. Learn to turn those worries into prayers. Learn to rest in his peace and all those ingredients that he has given us for a Thanksgiving. So as you celebrate Thanksgiving this week and you're ready to sit down with your meal and your family, enjoy that wonderful meal that's been prepared, and you rejoice in it because you followed the recipe and everything tastes so good and you enjoy that. And enjoy that Thanksgiving. What about in your life spiritually? Is thankfulness and thanksgiving generated in your heart, or is something missing? So the question this morning is, Paul says, rejoice in the Lord and pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. And that's what the scripture says. And you say, but I can't give thanks in everything. I have a hard time rejoicing in every situation I'm facing. I can't give thanks in every situation. There's something there. An ingredient is missing. So I asked you this morning on the paper before you, and this is between you and the Lord and your response. The missing ingredient in my thanksgiving is what? If you don't have a truly thankful heart, if thanksgiving is not being generated in your life, then there's a missing ingredient somewhere. The recipe that God has given us in his word is not being followed. All right, is gentleness not being evident? Is there worry that's consuming your heart? Are you not spending enough time in prayer? Or what about his peace? Is his peace not sustaining you? Or maybe the improper thoughts of focusing in on your inadequacy or your failure? Or maybe not obedience? Or maybe there's no praise? What is the missing ingredient in your thanksgiving that needs to be put in that recipe so that you can have truly a thankful heart? And that's between you and God. And ask the Holy Spirit to show that to you. And whatever it is he's bringing to your mind right now, write that down. Because that's the missing ingredient to truly have a happy and a blessed Thanksgiving, not just on Thursday, but every single day of our life. Then we can truly say with Paul, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice." Let our heart be overflowing with thanksgiving. Rejoice in the Lord because he is good. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, first of all, for who you are. We thank you for your love for us, your grace through Jesus, reaching down to us when we didn't even care a lick about you. You loved us when we didn't love you. When we were yet sinners, you sent Jesus on this rescue mission to redeem and restore us to you. So, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for your faithfulness to us, that indeed you are good from generation to generation. Lord, we thank you for the hard times and the trials, because in that we see your faithfulness, we see your goodness on display. And through those times, you use us, you use those to mold us more into maturity and Christian likeness and discipleship. So Lord, help us to rejoice in all things. And Lord, if the thankfulness in our heart, and Lord, the times when we consume by anxiety and worry and inadequacy and fear, and your peace isn't reigning there, and we can't have a truly heart of thanksgiving, it's because an ingredient and the recipe is missing. Lord, we thank you that your word has provided and shown us the recipe and given us the recipe to have a truly thankful heart. And so, Lord, by your Holy Spirit this morning, make that known to us. Show us what ingredients may be missing that we need to follow this recipe and put back into our lives so that we can truly experience thanksgiving as you call us to. That we can live in accordance with your will of giving thanks in all things, in all circumstances. Not necessarily for them, but in them. And so, Father, thank you that your word is so practical, that your word shows us the way. And so help us, Lord, to be truly grateful and thankful believers. Because indeed, we have a lot to thank you for, and we thank you for that peace that sustains us. And help us to turn those worries and anxieties into prayers. And that your peace standing guard there over our heart and mind in you. And we thank you for what you've done and what you are yet to do. And it's through Christ Jesus our Lord we pray. Amen.